are listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Monday. I'm going to go over this week's schedule because, well, it's going to stay the same, but I'm going to be out of town for two of them. I'm going to talk to you about this Thursday's podcast, and we're going to talk about Women Tell All tonight. Nothing new to report in Bachelorette world. We're going to talk about American Idol because there's a Bachelor crossover coming next week. If you didn't watch American Idol last night, I'll fill you in on what you missed in the previews for next week's episode. A little Farmer Wants a Wife, since it took a week off last week. And another show that involves somebody I covered in the past on a different show. They've got their own show now on Peacock and USA that I watched at least the first episode of. And I'll talk to you about that. We'll get to all that momentarily. So you know that this week is my big week, my favorite week of the year sports-wise, and that is the first week of the NCAA tournament, which means I leave for Vegas on Wednesday. So Thursday's show and Friday's show and Monday's show, actually, is going to be recorded on the road. Now, when I'm on the road, especially on Thursday and Friday, when I'm basically just watching games in a sports book all day long, I don't know how much Bachelor news I'll have, but I'll cover some things if I hear some things and report some other things and talk about pop culture stuff. But I wouldn't expect too much, but you never know. I mean, like I said, I could find out tomorrow who the Bachelorette is. And like I said, I'm pretty sure they've chosen who they want. But I don't know who it is, but I'm going to be on the road. So Wednesday night for Thursday's show, I'll record from Vegas. Thursday night I'll record for Friday's show. And then actually, Saturday morning, I go from Vegas to Southern California. I'm only there for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, because I got my fantasy baseball draft. You know, priorities here. And then I'm back here in Dallas at home on Monday so I could be home for the finale. Didn't want to be on the road. I was going to extend this trip and go a full week Wednesday to Wednesday, but I just wanted to be home for finale night. Don't ask why. I guess the biggest thing is I don't want to watch it on the West Coast, you know? And I guess I could have watched it on the Hulu feed that I watched on last week and just signed into somebody who lives on the East Coast and watched it online, but I don't know. It's just easier just being in my own home and watching the show. So the finale next week, I'll be at home. But so that is the schedule. Nothing changes. Now, I know a lot of you, even though you're not huge, maybe a lot of you aren't huge sports fans, but you know this week, especially in my column tomorrow, I'm going to have my best bets in college basketball for the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. And I've done really well on these in the past couple years. Last year was the worst one I had, but the 4 years before that, I think on my best bet, I went 4-0. I'll have to look again. But I thought this was interesting for people that are like, why are we listening to your picks, Steve? Well, I got an email, a direct message on Instagram that said, I just want to let you know that because of the Sports Daily podcast and your March Madness picks last year, I ended up winning a trip to the Final Four and National Championship game this year since my bracket came in the top 1 percentile. I'm a big UConn fan, so obviously that helped me too since I couldn't root against them. But I based most of my first-round picks off your picks and upsets and took most of your picks for any other teams that weren't UConn or Big East teams. So thank you for helping me win a once-in-a-lifetime prize and looking forward to your March Madness picks this year. So, yeah, they are. It was done on the NCAA March Madness app. And this person finished in the top 1 percentile because they listened to me. Now, I didn't ask them. I probably should have asked them. Maybe I will today. Last year's Final Four was just whack. There were no number one seeds, no number two seeds, no number three seeds. UConn was a 4. San Diego State and Miami were 5s. And Florida Atlantic was, I forget what they were. They were over a 5, I know that. So those were your Final Four teams last year. So, you know, having UConn obviously was huge for them. But, hey, if I can help in some way, and if I can help anybody make some money or win their pool, by all means, that's great. Just, you know, give me my commission at the end of this. All I want is 80%. That's all I'm asking. I'm kidding. All right. So tonight is Women Tell All. And you know that I've reported what I have on it. I don't think it's going to be too crazy of an episode. We're only going to get, probably 90 minutes of Women Tell All, because I got to believe the first 20 or 30 minutes of tonight's show, maybe a little bit more, or maybe a little bit less. Maybe it's only 15 minutes or so, is going to be dedicated to how last week's episode ended, which we know Joey and Kelsey talk over her letter. That doesn't really do anything. That's more of a TV thing that they just wanted to suck people in, because clearly Kelsey sticks around. She doesn't leave or anything like that. And we know that she's obviously the winner this season. So clearly the note didn't really do anything in terms of anything negative. And then tonight we'll see Rachel get eliminated because she is at the Women Tell All. We saw on a preview that Maria is in the hot seat on Women Tell All. I'm sure Rachel is as well. And there's going to be drama, obviously, with the women surrounding Maria. But there's, you know, there's a side of the Leias, the Sydneys, the Jesses, and then there's the Maria side, who is Maria and the sisters, and I believe Edwina as well is on Maria's side. So we'll see how it all plays out. Again, you got to remember, this is literally 4 months after these women were on the show, and it's just really hard for me, and should be hard for all of you as a viewer, to sit there and watch and be like, are these women really that bothered by anything Maria did 4 months later? I mean, I totally understand in the moment, you know, they didn't like her approach to things. They thought she was rather aggressive. That's fine. She's not a horrible human being whatsoever. But is she a little loud, and is she, you know, speak for herself, and did she kind of not go with the flow of the rest of the group? Yeah, she has said that in post-show interviews, that Maria's just like, yeah, I'm kind of the outlier here. I just kind of say and do my own thing. And clearly that rubs some of the women the wrong way. Now, I could totally understand that in the moment. They were not fans of her while they were filming the show. Fine. But 4 months later, they're told to bring it up. They're told to be like, hey, when you go out there, you need to call out Maria for what you didn't like her saying. And I'm guessing most of these women, if they had their way, would just be like, do I really have to? Is this necessary? Is this going to accomplish anything? We know in the past that the Women Tell All has always been used for the Bachelor in Paradise audition. You know, you'll hear from women that got eliminated the first and second night, and you're just like, you were barely there. How can you even say what things that were happening in the house or how people felt? You weren't there to experience it. But certainly looking like there's no Bachelor in Paradise this summer, but they're still going to get women to talk. I mean, this is what they do. This is how the show does it. Because the bottom line is, you still don't want to get on the producer's bad side. And let's face it, there's probably going to be a summer show next summer. So just because there isn't one this summer doesn't mean you don't have something to quote-unquote audition for. You could technically still be auditioning for what comes around next summer. Because next summer, if they have a summer show, it's going to be Joey's women, The Bachelorette coming up, their guys, the next Bachelor's women, and the next Bachelorette's guys. They're going to have 4 seasons to choose from like they did the season after COVID when they had to shut down. And that was one of the best Paradise seasons they had because they had so many casts to choose from. So these women are still not going to want to get on the bad side. You don't want to burn any bridges with ABC. If a producer comes to you before a Women Tell All taping and says, you should really go after her for this, or you should really say this, you're going to do it because you don't want to let down your producer. And you want to be, you know, known. Now, how you go about it is a different story, because there will be some people watching. In fact, there will be plenty of people watching the show tonight that will be like, why don't you just give this up? Like, why are we still talking about this? Why are you going after Maria? It's over. It's done with. Let it go. Stop harping on it. You know, I'm sure Sydney's going to hear a lot of that. She heard it during the season. Of course, she's going to hear it 4 months later if she goes after Maria for the same exact thing she went after her during filming. People didn't agree with her, what she was saying to Maria during filming. I'm guessing they're not going to agree with whatever she says to Maria tonight 4 months after filming ended. So keep that in mind, but you know it's coming. Like I said, I haven't heard anything new in regards to The Bachelorette, but that could come any day now because I do believe they have chosen who it is. And this is a Maria or Daisy thing. I have no lean either way in terms of what I'm hearing, because I haven't heard either name in terms of who it could be. I just know it's one of them. So hopefully I'll hear something this week. Even when I'm out of town, obviously, I have access to my phone and I can get information. So it is possible that I might have your bachelorette for you sometime this week. I don't know. But the finale's next week. At the latest this is going to be officially announced is next Monday night during the After the Final Rose. Unless they say, like, oh, we're announcing it on GMA the next day, but that wouldn't make any sense. You've got a live show, and we know that they love announcing the next lead on the live show because they can get a sit-down with them for 10 or 15 minutes and even sometimes, you know, maybe meet some of their guys. So the latest I've heard about, like I said last week on Friday, the all-international season, it's definitely not all-international because I know of at least one U.S. city they are going to in April. And that looks to be the episode before hometown. So it could technically still start overseas. I don't know. I haven't heard anything new in regards to that. Hopefully I will coming up. But that's the latest with Bachelor stuff. Women Tell All tonight and then finale next week. Thank God it's finally here. This podcast is brought to you by Earth Echo Foods and their healthy feel-good superfood product, Cacao Bliss. It is 100% USDA organic, rare, ceremonial-grade cacao beans that are naturally dried by the sun, maintaining their miraculous health benefits. It helps reduce your cravings, facilitate weight loss, boost your energy, helps combat inflammation with one simple, delicious drink. All you got to do is put one scoop in a cup of water and a glass of milk in your smoothie, however you want to do it. Not only that, it's gluten-free, paleo, keto, vegan, vegetarian, diet-friendly. As a listener to this podcast, you can receive an additional 15% off, exclusive offer, when you visit shop.earthechofoods.com/realitysteve. Use promo code realitysteve. That's an additional 15% off when you visit shop.earthechofoods.com/realitysteve and use discount code realitysteve. This podcast is also brought to you by Mint Mobile. Right now, the best deal in wireless is at Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile has wireless plans starting at $15 a month. That's unlimited talk and text plus data for $15 a month. I did it. I was paying over $100 a month for my basic plan, and I'm just like, how is this all adding up to over $100? I look at my bill, I'm like, yeah, that's ridiculous. So for anyone who hates their phone bill, like I did, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month. All plans come back to unlimited talk and text. High-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. To get your new wireless plan for $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/realitysteve. That's mintmobile.com/realitysteve. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/realitysteve. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. All right, I have not talked American Idol much. I've watched every episode this season, the auditions, and there's two things that I want to address about the season in general and then what we saw at the end of the episode last night. Number one, I can do without the skits. The pickleball playing with Katie and her mom versus Luke and Lionel. I get that they have basically eliminated the bad auditions. This isn't the American Idol that we grew up with, which is probably better. I mean, it is pretty amazing. I mean, just think about it. Just think back to when American Idol was in its heyday. I mean, I'm talking basically seasons 1 through 6, maybe 1 through 7. That's when American Idol was just killing it and getting 35 million viewers a week. I mean, it gets like 6 now or something ridiculous. But it's just funny to look back now. And when it was Randy, Paula, and Simon, you got to remember, this was at the advent of reality TV. Very early on, we hadn't really seen anything like this where you had the sharp-tongued British person. We've seen so many of them since, but he was the first one. When Simon came onto our screens, we were enthralled. All you did was talk the next day about what Simon said on the show the night before and how he insulted somebody. Now, it's just, we're in different times. I get why they don't do it anymore, but, I mean, some of the things that Simon said were absolutely brutal because not only did he tell somebody they sucked at singing, but he would always critique their look, physical abnormalities they had. Like, it was bad. And I get why they don't do it anymore, but it's almost like every single contestant that we do see audition has got some sort of sad backstory. And I guess it's about storytelling. Hell, Katie said it during the auditions last night. American Idol is about storytelling. It's not the best singer in America. I don't think it's ever been the best singer in America, especially some of the winners in the past. Like, Catherine McPhee was a better singer than Taylor Hicks, and her career kind of proves that. But Taylor Hicks was all about entertainment, and it was a television show, and I get why America voted for him. But the skits are just whatever. Then they were doing some meditation thing when one woman came in, and she was giving like a meditation bath. It's like, let's just get the auditions. I mean, you could kill a couple of those segments and show us two more singers. I get that Lionel and Katie and Luke like to have fun, and we want to show how close the judges are and whatnot. This is Katie's last season, but the skits are pointless. We don't need to see them playing pickleball. That has nothing to do with anything. Then, for those that didn't watch American Idol last night, at the end of the episode, they showed a preview for next week's episode. And who shows up on American Idol next week with his daughter? None other than Juan Pablo. Yes, little Camila is auditioning next week on American Idol. Holy fuck, do I feel old. What? So I had to Google because I was like, well, how old could she be? And so I Googled Juan Pablo daughter and I pulled up an article. And in August of 2013, which is about a month before he started filming his season, the article said that his daughter Camila was 4. So she's got to be 15 now. Maybe 16, I guess, if she had an early birthday. Where at the time she filmed this, it would have been last summer. So she couldn't have been 16 last summer. I don't think if you're 4 in 2013, could you be 16 in 2023? No, you couldn't be. So she's 15 and she auditions next week. And I'm like, holy crap. Because he shows up with her. He walks through the door and Katie and Lionel and I keep wanting to call him Blake Shelton. I know it's Luke, and Juan Pablo referenced that he, you know, used to be The Bachelor or something like that. But I mean, talk about putting us in our place and talk about us feeling old. Camila, Juan Pablo's daughter, is auditioning for American Idol next week. Oh, man. There was a 15-year-old that auditioned last night, and they didn't send her through to Hollywood. And it was just, I felt bad. She's a 15-year-old girl. And she did an original song that she wrote about her boyfriend that broke up with her. And you're just like, but you're 15. Like, I don't want to take it away from her. She obviously was heartbroken. She was crying most of the audition. She was crying before the audition, pretty much crying during her song, and was crying afterwards. Not because she didn't get to Hollywood, but just because she was sad. She had lost her friend. So I don't want to take anything away from that. I just chuckled a little bit because a 15-year-old was writing a breakup song about her boyfriend who went to a different school, you know? But it was sad. Like, I felt bad for the girl. Like, I was just like, oh man, why'd you even audition? I agreed with the judges. She was not good enough at 15 yet. So it makes me worried a little bit about Camila next week, unless she has some, you know, unbelievable voice. It's very possible she does. So I'm looking forward to that. And I guarantee there's a spoiler site out there that already knows whether or not Camila made it through to Hollywood week. Does MJ's Big Blog still do their thing with Idol where they've already spoiled who the top 25 or top 50 are? Because I know Hollywood Week has already happened, and so has the week after Hollywood Week where, you know, they do the one-on-ones and they choose their top however many, 24, 25, 28, however many they're doing. I'm pretty sure that's already been chosen. That's usually done in January or February. But I haven't looked. I don't like to be spoiled. You know that. A couple other things that I want to bring up. Farmer Wants a Wife. I did not really think bringing in 4 women or bringing in a new woman this far into the process was fair. And I think at least one or two of them are probably going to keep them around. Brandon's going to keep his girl around, I'm pretty sure. And Nathan will probably keep Mackenzie because she was one of the original ones. She had a family issue. She came back. So I totally get. She would make sense. And Brandon seems to really be into his. I don't know if Ty's going to bring the redhead home, and I don't know if the other guy is going to bring Mitchell. He's the one that called his brother. He probably will bring her home. But for the show to do that, I would be upset if I were one of the women because they've been there a month. Like, bringing somebody a month into the process, like, I get it if you brought him in because two girls left early or something like that. I totally get bringing somebody else in, but they've all been there a month, and now they're bringing another woman in that the guy can choose to bring to his ranch or his farm. Not sure I agree with that. And then finally, wanted to address another show that had a former podcast guest on it and a show that we covered quite a bit here on my website and the podcast, and that was Joe Millionaire. Remember one of the two Joe Millionaires was Stephen McBee? Well, he's got his own show on USA and Peacock now called the McBee Dynasty, which is basically like how everyone is explaining it to me, even though I watched basically none of these shows. Succession combined with Yellowstone combined with Dallas. It's basically about him and his brothers and his dad and the farm and the land that they own in Gallatin, Missouri. And the father is going to pass it down to one of his sons at some point. And we get to see their life in Gallatin, Missouri on the farm. I think he's the oldest brother. And he takes after his dad the most. My gosh, they're like spitting images of each other. And then there's three other younger brothers that handle like the manual labor. Steven kind of does the promotional stuff, paperwork stuff. He's not an on the boots on the ground kind of guy. But you know, it's somewhat interesting. I'm not a farmer. I've never been interested in farming, so that part doesn't interest me as much. I'm not interested as much in the whole succession part of it. Maybe I will be at some point. Maybe I'll understand this more as the show goes on. Now, the whole show's been released on Peacock. I've only watched the first episode. I think there's 10 or 12 episodes that are already out on Peacock. I've only watched the first, so I'll get around to it. But I was more watching to see what the deal is between Steven and Calla. Calla is the woman that he picked over Annie on Joe Millionaire. Obviously, you know, I know Annie. Annie came to my party 2 years ago with Amanda, the one that Kurt chose. And I'm, still keep in touch with them. And I just wanted to see it for the Calla aspect of it because I have followed Steven on Instagram, and it seems like he's hot and cold with Calla. Sometimes he's with her, sometimes he's not. There was something last summer or something like that. I think it was last summer. Maybe it was, I can't remember what month it was, but, or maybe it was around this time last year where there was a story out that Steven and Annie might be getting back together, and then all of a sudden they weren't. Well, Calla was part of that reason why that didn't happen. So I'm wondering, you know, I just wanted to see how they were going to cover it. Are they going to make it seem like this is some lovey-dovey couple? Because it seems like they get together and they break up every 5 minutes. And it was addressed in the first episode. And Calla admitted, like, we're on and off. And Steven has a really hard time committing to me. So that part I'm interested in. And then obviously I'll watch the other stuff that comes along with it. But I'll be honest, I'm interested in the Steven-Calla relationship part of the show. More so than I am the farming aspect of it. But you know, maybe it'll grow on me. We'll see. But it's on Peacock, and it's also on USA. I think USA shows a new episode every Monday night. But when I looked on Peacock, all the episodes were released last Monday. So anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also rate and review, but you got to hit play. It doesn't do it good enough for it to just download into your feed every morning. You got to hit play. Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. Tonight, Women Tell All. Check it out. My column tomorrow will have my best bets for the March Madness tournament. I have all my picks from the past. You'll see my record over the last 4 or 5 years that I've been doing this. It's usually been pretty good. I got to narrow down who I like. There's like 3 or 4 games that I really like, and they'll all be part of like extra plays, but I got to figure out which is the one that's my best bet that I'm giving out as part of my quote-unquote record, because I was doing really good there. I had won 4 years in a row, and then last year I believe I went 0-2. So anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.